what we're about here is not just some ceremony that we attach on to the end of worship. It's actually a continuation of that worship. I guess for some it would seem strange, as if something separate, because if they're not preaching Christ and Him crucified and then go to celebrate the Lord's table, someone would say, what's that all about? But you can see where, if as the Lord directs His true preachers, they're declaring Christ and Him crucified all through Scripture, when we come to partake in the Lord's table, it's a continuation of that message. It's like the tabernacle was a visible picture of Christ, God's Son, and the redemption that was in Him. This is the one picture that God has left His church. I know people like to have artist designs of what the Lord Jesus must have looked like, and there are all kinds of pictures floating around out there, but they have nothing to do with the Son of God. Don't you suppose that if the Lord Jesus wanted people to carry around a picture of Him in their pocket, that He wouldn't have commissioned an artist? They had artists back in the day. He could well have sat and said, I want you to draw a picture of Me, and when this is done, I want you to make copies, and I want you to pass this all the way down through history to any that are My followers. That's not what He did. But what did He do? Well, Matthew 26, on the eve of the Passover, and that Passover lamb represented the Lord Jesus Christ. And it was celebrated once a year at that particular time. The entire week given to it, because it was the week of unleavened bread. No leaven was to be found in the houses. And so, here in Matthew 26:17, when it says the first day of the feast of unleavened bread, that the disciples came to Jesus saying unto Him, where wilt thou that we prepare, I like this, for thee to eat the Passover? This is Christ's Passover. This has to do with Him, the Passover lamb. And so He gave them instruction to go into the city and to find a man, go into his house, and tell the man in verse 18, the Master saith. That's who He is. He's the Lord Christ. The Master saith, my time is at hand. I will keep the Passover at thy house with My disciples. He didn't even send them out to find anybody and anything. This was a specific place, a specific time, a specific person, and a specific Passover. And that's what we celebrate here with these elements that we hold in our hand. It has to do with that specific Redeemer and Savior. I love the way verse 19 says, the disciples did as Jesus had appointed them. Do exactly, just like He told Moses, build it exactly as I tell you. Same thing with what we're about here. We do it exactly as the Lord has appointed. Now, this is not the Passover, but it was at this last Passover that the Lord brought this transition, this change, as we're going to see. But we don't add to it or take from it. We don't try to make it more palatable. Very simple elements that we're holding in our hand. The bread, the unleavened bread, and the cup, the wine. So the disciples did as Jesus had appointed them, and they made ready the Passover. And when the eve was come, He sat down with the 12. And as they did eat, He said, verily I say unto you that one of you shall betray Me. The Lord knew who Judas was. In fact, He had chosen him for that purpose, for this particular betrayal. You talk about God's sovereignty. He took who Judas was in his evil nature, such as we are, and drew him for this one purpose, that for this hour, he would be the one to betray our Lord. And He told them, said, verily I say unto you that one of you shall betray Me. And they were exceeding sorrowful. I believe He's talking there about the other disciples. It wasn't Judas. Judas, at this particular time, had already made his plot to betray our Lord. And began every one of them to say unto Him, Lord, is it I? That's the thought that the Spirit brings to the heart of any one of His own, that I not be that one that should in any way betray my Lord. And He answered and said, he that dippeth his hand with Me in the dish, the same shall betray Me. You can go back to Psalm 41, verse 9, and see that this was already prophesied. the dipping of the hand in the dish, that was the Passover dish. That was a special stop that they took the unleavened bread and put in and ate. And so the Lord said, the one that dips his hand in that dish with me is the one that will betray me. And he says, the Son of Man goeth as it is written of him. Judas didn't do one thing more or less than what God had already determined should be done. But woe unto that man by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. It had been good for that man if he had not been born. That's what God purposed, that his son should be delivered into the hands of wicked men. And I know that some will find fault with God and say, well, you know, if God delivered him into their hand, then how can they be accused then or condemned? Well, they did what they willed, but in so doing, they were accomplishing the will of God. And so it is with anything God leaves to themselves. I don't know of any that the Lord has left to themselves where they're thinking, well, I would truly like to have the Lord Jesus Christ as my Savior. They're not thinking that. They're going their own way. Only those that God makes willing come to him and desire him. And so Judas, which betrayed him, answered and said, Master, is it I? He was trying to fall in with the rest, but the Lord said unto him, Thou hast said, by your own words. And I believe when you're reading John, that's at that time that Judas, the Lord told him, go do what you're going to do. And the disciples, they thought he was going out to gather alms. It was the Passover. Feed the poor. Such was the subtlety with which Judas was in their midst all that time, and they never figured it out. But the Lord did. And so now, verse 26, the transition. As they were eating that Passover meal. And on that Passover meal, there would have been a lamb that had been prepared. The Passover lamb. There would have been herbs, spices that would have been the unleavened bread. But of all that has remained of all of that, we don't have the roast lamb today. Why is that? We don't have the bitter herbs. Why is that? Well, it's all been fulfilled. We have the lamb, but it's in Christ. He's the lamb. And he's the one we celebrate. And these emblems that we have are what he has left as that picture. Jesus took bread. We hold in our hand, blessed it, and break it, and gave it to the disciples, and said, take, eat, this is my body. There's some that think that somehow this bread is transformed into his body, and so they don't even let you touch it. If it should fall on the ground, oh no. Part of Jesus' body just fell on the ground. It's not, when he said, this is my body, he's saying it's a picture of my body. I like to play with my grandkids sometimes. I have a picture of them, and I'll show it to them. I'll say, who's that? And they'll say, that's me. And I'll say, no, I see you there. That's not. And that's me. Well, they understand. It's a picture of them. That's what this bread is, a picture of Christ. Unleavened, without sin. And if you look at it carefully, it bears the marks of a fire. But through the fire, represents the judgment that he bore. But it's not just the unleavened bread representing his body and his person. Had Christ come to this earth and lived a perfect life, and then ascended back up into heaven, do you know what? There still wouldn't be any salvation. All he would have done was to prove and to show who he was as a holy God in the flesh. That's why this cup is so vital. And that's why the two go together. It's his body. It's a body hast thou prepared for me. God can't die. It was necessary that he have a body, that he die. But the shed blood. Without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sin. And that's why in verse 27 it says, he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them. What's he giving thanks for? He's on the eve of his going to the cross. I dare say if it was any one of us knowing that tomorrow was the execution, it wouldn't be in this way necessarily that we would think. But he gave thanks. He glorified his Father. This is why he came to this earth. He was in total submission, willing to go to the cross. He took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, drink ye all of it. For what? This is my blood of the New Testament. Not the blood of the old, with bulls and goats, calves, but my blood that he would shed, which is shed for many People think he shed his blood for everybody. No. He didn't shed it for Judas. He shed it for Peter. Peter denied the Lord as much as Judas. But why was Peter saved? Because Christ shed his blood. Shed it for many. For what? The remission of sins. The putting away of sin. Where is it that God has once for all put away sin? That's what we're celebrating right now. It's in how, through his shed blood, God has once for all put away the sin. They're all taken away. They're all taken away. My sins are all taken away. And he said, I say unto you, verse 29, I will not drink henceforth of this fruit of the vine until the day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom. That's not talking about the sweet by and by. His Father's kingdom was ushered in when he was raised from the grave. And he sent it on high. And he now lives forever to intercede on behalf of those for whom he came. He rose from the grave. He went and ate and drank with his disciples. He didn't go around in any public way revealing himself to his disciples for whom he paid the debt. And I dare say even now, when we partake, his presence is with his people. And as we partake, there's a rejoicing as we remember his body and his blood. And then when they had sung a hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives. Let's thank the Lord for these elements and we'll partake. Gracious Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for the clarity of it, that you would be pleased to reveal your Son to such wretches as we are. Even though it was the whole world perishing, yet it's pleased you to call out a remnant such as we are. And we should gather and worship you through your Son. Give you all the honor and glory for his person and his work, and all that he accomplished to save sinners such as we are. So as we partake, may he be uppermost in our minds and hearts. We truly give you all the praise and honor and glory in his precious name.